When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo, I got Bo Rude here, and I'm so excited about this pod here because this is more like, full disclosure, this should be more well organized, but this was kind of like, I had maybe one too many cups of coffee, and my brain started rolling here. I thought, okay, who are the 15 best Huskers since Ndamukong Suh? For some reason, that like felt like a good pivot point or a good just point in time to stop, because everybody knows Sue is probably one of the five greatest Huskers of all time. It's more interesting to do it post-Sue. Now, I thought about doing this like since they joined the Big Ten, but there's some good players in 2010 that I really want
rough,
on the team.
It's roughly that, but I like that. So it's roughly that since 2010. So it's roughly 2010. So it's the next year. Correct that we went 2011.
Well, last year you get 22. You get the last year in the Big 12.
Yes.
So the season that Nebraska lost to Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game, mm-hmm. and then you get Nebraska's maiden voyage into the Big 10 starting 2011 on into current day. So I started. This is my process on how I did this. I first just wrote down a bunch of names that immediately came to my mind.
Okay.
And then what I did was I went to Wikipedia and just clicked on all Big Ten teams every year and then found the Nebraska players, added them to the list that I felt, because some guys, no disrespect, some guys made all conference that I just would not feel like are one of the 15. So you just getting one all conference doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be on this list.
Yep.
Okay. To me, when you do this list, there are five obvious guys, and then after five, it's challenging, especially in the order of how it would be. So I want to start with this. We'll do kind of honorable mention guys that didn't make my list, but I'm going to pepper them at you, and I want you just to kind of give your reaction of like, ooh, man,
will I consider them for the top 15, or should they maybe not be?
Yeah, okay, I feel good about him not being top 15. Okay. You know what? I'm going to start with the order I did it, because what I kind of did was by position. Running backs. Honorable mention. Didn't make the cut. Roy Helu. He was 2010 All Big Ten selection.
Ooh.
Had the 300-yard game against Missouri at home.
I think
was
hard,
a hell of a running back.
Hell of a running back. Really like a just a solid player. Really, really solid. You got to like Roy. I played with him for a couple years. He was young. I mean, he was a freshman, a redshirt my first.
That makes sense, because his senior year was 2010.
Yeah, so he would have been a freshman. Yeah, redshirt, and then was a freshman 2007. So good, really good player, nice guy. The hard part, I think, with him is you kind of got to give a little skew to, like, there's going to be two other running backs. I know we're going to make it. So now we're out of 15 spots.
Three of them are going to running backs. You go.
So I would say he's going to be a fringe guy.
He was.
I just need to see some more, but I will say I know two running backs are going to be in that. So then you're leaving position groups completely out if you do three running backs.
Okay. Let me go to the defensive side of the ball. I did all one. I didn't do line. I wrote down 12 names. A lot of them made the list, but some were honorable mention. First guy I wrote down was Eric Hag. Eric Hag was a really good player, 2010, All Big 12 selection. I feel comfortable. He's one of those guys, like, I want to give him a mention. I'm comfortable with him not being in the top 15.
I think he's close. He'd be close, but I would say that's probably right.
Next name, JoJo Doman. 2021, All Big 10 selection. Had a pretty good final couple of years. You comfortable with him not being in the top 15? I felt like he absolutely had to be a name wrote down.
JoJo's worth writing down. I think the issue I'd have with JoJo, we'd have some recency bias with him for sure.
Yes.
But he also had his year where, like, he made some big misses. You know, he had some, like, he's kind of had an up and down run, right? So I would say probably okay with leaving him off for now.
Because what's hard is a lot of this criteria is like some of these guys maybe only had one great year, but that one year is good enough to get them on the list.
Yeah.
Some, how much do you weigh? Did their team win? Obviously, the last 15 years or whatever it is, there wasn't a ton of winning by anybody.
Winning helps.
But winning helps.
Winning helps, and doing it over time helps, obviously. But I think it's also, I kind of go off gut, like, how do I remember, like, feeling about that guy when he was there? Because here's one of the issues. There's the issue of, like, sometimes guys weren't that good, and then they, like, make it in the pros and you go, oh, that guy was
great. That's what I
and
don't
go,
want to do. It's
that's
a great point.
Not my guy. When he was on the field for Nebraska, how did I feel about him? That's how I usually judge it.
Because one of the guys, and I don't, this comes off like it's a shot. I'm not meaning it to be a shot. Will Compton has had a pretty long NFL career, like hanging in there. To me, Will's not one of the, not on my top 15
Will's
list.
More famous for his
podcast.
Off the field.
Yeah, like,
when he was,
now, he was
here,
an All Big Ten selection. I was looking it up, but like,
was he All Big Ten?
He got all. He was second team.
Okay, I would have almost guaranteed he wasn't All Big Ten.
Yes.
But like, here's the thing: is you got Compton, or you got
some other guys. You know,
you got a guy that is still playing in the NFL. His name's Levante David. That like when he was playing, I knew Levante was like, that's the guy, you know?
So
that's nothing. That's no shot on Will, because like he was a really good player. But in the moment, you didn't feel like this is going to be a decade. Like,
I thought Will was a good player.
I
want to make
sure.
A
decade type of guy.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Like a player of the last 15 years.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
You know, like that means you got to be like the best guy on the field that year. I knew Levante pretty much was.
Right.
Like I just, you got to have that feeling.
Garrett Nelson. Wrote his name down. 2022 All Big Ten selection. Comfortable with him not being on it. Felt like he was a guy that I had a soft spot for. Wanted to throw his name in.
Really, I'm a fan of that dude's just everything about him. But he played a lot of snaps and was a tough son of a gun. But really, it was, I thought he became a solid, like a.
He was solid.
His senior season, I was like, that's a good football player. I think before that, it was always like, I was always wasn't totally sure. So that's where I'd say not a decades guy, but like last year he was one of my favorites.
Khalil Davis. He was 2019 All Big Ten. I think there was a stretch of those interior guys that were maybe a little better than what people thought, but he's no Sue. He's no like.
I'm going to say no. I don't think I actually thought that Stilley and Snacks were better. I think they played the Davis twins out of position.
Right.
I do. I mean, they weren't, you know, 3-4 guys to me. They should have been 4-3 guys, three techniques. And so they were playing out of position. They did their best. I just didn't feel like they were like dominant though.
I wrote down Snacks. I didn't write Stilley. Are we cool with no Snacks,
no
Stilley?
No.
Good players. Don't consider them there. Okay. What about surprisingly a lot of nominations for wide receivers? Like there's a lot of guys that make my list. But here are the guys that didn't. We'll start with the controversial one. Wandale Robinson. When remove how you feel about his decision personally to leave. Were there 15 better players than him over the past 15 years at Nebraska? He didn't make my list, but I don't know if I felt great about it.
Here's why. Because you're thinking about Wandale Robinson from Kentucky. Wandale Robinson that was here got hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get him the ball in the passing game. He had a couple of good moments.
Like Illinois, he had a big game.
Illinois Northwestern. He had a flashes. Nick, the production wasn't there consistently. It just wasn't. Like,
yeah.
And that's on the coaches some. And it's just, you know, and he got hurt and he missed a bunch of games and then
that's
he transferred.
I left him off.
He did not. Like his performance was at another school. So unfortunately, like we could see what we had in him. You could see it.
Yes.
It just never like
maybe that's what's hard.
Came
like,
to fruition.
I felt like looking at him and seeing potential and like their upside and like all that stuff. Like he's on the top 15, like potential dudes.
He's in the top five. Like how could we let that guy go?
Yeah, that guy's
well,
big
we didn't
time.
Let him. But like he makes the top one or two of like, gosh, we had a great guy and he left us.
That guy was a player, man. But I left him off the list. I left him off the list. Okay. Other Quincy Enunwa. I mean, he ended up having a better, he had a better career than you thought. He had a good, a decent pro career too, but I feel comfortable with him not being on there.
I'm going to put him as a fringe maybe because I'm just, I got to see who else we got. Like he, thinking back to it, like he was a really, he was a specimen. I don't know that his production was crazy, but his, like,
I'm going to let a little secret out. I have four receivers on my top 15.
Okay. Well then I'm going to put him on the fringe outside. If you got four, I'm going to trust. Once I start hearing him,
Niles Paul. I didn't put him on the list, but Niles. You know what's sad is sometimes like Niles had a big touchdown on the road against Missouri and that comeback in the rain in 2000. I think that was 2009. But I always remember when he fumbled near the goal line against Iowa State, but he was a good punt returner. I feel comfortable with him not being on the list, but Niles Paul was a player.
I think he's close. I think like the hard part with him is he had a nice pro career. I think we skew towards the guys.
I know.
So he's
got
to
try to separate that.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm trying. So I'm going to put him as a fringe. Give me a fringe. I like
J.D. Niles. Spielman, two-time All Big Ten selection, 2017, 2018. I'm with you. I didn't put him on the list.
I think
but
he was a guy that was the beneficiary of just like,
I think he's a bat. You know, there's that saying of like every bad team has a leading scorer. Like I think some of these guys, like every he played on some bad teams.
Bad teams, and he got like the junk yards and the junk catches. I think.
Yep.
He couldn't go to TCU and get in the field barely.
That's a good point.
Do you know what I mean? Like
Austin Allen ended up having a hell of a final year, but she was 2021 All Big Ten selection. I don't have him on the list. Because the other tight ends, Mike McNeil, Seathan Carter.
I don't think they has.
I don't think
a,
that. No.
They don't. They
I think Austin Allen might have been the best of the bunch.
I think he's the best tight end we've had.
By the end of that, by the end of the 21 season, dude was fucking good.
I think we need to consider him slipping into like the 15th spot.
Okay.
We're tough right now on people.
Okay. Can I get this out of the way?
Yeah.
I don't feel like there was a kick-ass offensive lineman. Now, I wrote down, so I don't have an O-lineman on the list at this point. That's got to be lame. And somewhere Matt Verzal is getting in like his truck to come. Like
I'm getting in the stands.
You don't want the big uglies? Well, I'm going to pummel your face with Paisan pizza. But so here's the guys. I'm just going to give you names of dudes that made an all-conference team. Okay? There were more than I thought. There were eight. O'Doyle, Cam Jurgens, 2021. I feel like the vast majority of his career, at one point, I wanted him benched. He can't be in the top 15 Huskers. If at one point I wanted you benched because you couldn't snap the ball.
That's what's so, this is what's hard is like, he's a guy that like, I think he's going to play in the NFL for
I think he's gonna be
10 or 15 years. Like he's one of those guys. I just felt like I always supported him because I just saw that. I saw this like raw talent. It is hard though with the snaps and the penalties, but I do. Here's what I will say and why I would potentially put him on is because we noticed him.
Yeah.
Sometimes for bad reasons, but also because like
he would do
that
shit.
Dude would be down the field. He got a penalty for blocking a guy into the stands.
48 yards down the field.
That sort of ticks my like, did I notice him box? I noticed him.
See,
sometimes bad. So
right.
Like we noticed it. He wasn't like, oh, do you remember that? Like sometimes some of these guys like, he gets drafted or like he was even on the team?
Some of these names. Cole Pensick, 2013 All Big Ten. It's like,
yeah.
No. You know, like I'm not, he's not going to be on my list. I remember Pensick, but I don't remember him in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nick Gates was All Big Ten in 2016. Does that move you?
See, that's where Jurgens I'm putting over.
Okay. Alex Gates. Lewis, 2015 All Big Ten. I just remember he had a big penalty in overtime at Miami that was like he had an unsportsmanlike conduct, if I'm not mistaken. Year one of Riley. Like it's sad. Like, unfortunately, you got to be like, what's my first thought of you? And that's my first thought of him.
Well, that's part of what we're doing here.
Right. Like, Spencer Long, two-time All Big Ten.
See, that's the guy that I had in my head that I would say
he deserved it. Yeah.
He deserved it. Two-time. You're in, I think. With our lack of line talent over the
years. Because it's pretty egregious that I don't have an O lineman on there.
Let's
highlight Spencer Long and we'll see if he fits in. Jeremiah Searles, he was 2012 All Big Ten.
I don't know that he.
I don't put him above Long.
I don't put him above Long. And I think in my head, I didn't think about him like I thought about Jurgens. Like I just remember, and partly now, you know, we're like really analyzing it more than we ever did back then. Cause you were on the radio then, but
yeah,
I just feel like I've been locked in on Juergens for a long time. So to me, I would say Long and Juergens are my two that are probably like guys that I'm like, I think they were good. I noticed them.
Two other O-linemen. Mike Caputo, 2011 Big Ten, and then Ricky Henry, 2010 All Big 12. So do we feel like
Henry was All Big 12? Okay. He was a tough guy. I would say, though, I would say Long and Cam Juergens, I think probably.
What I like about Ricky Henry is he made my, I mean, I made a million parody songs on Chicken Nick, but he made the Teach Me How to Run It, Teach Me How to Dougie parody, where Ricky Henry made the.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Rex. You can call him Sexy Rexy, 22 Superman. You know the recipe. Run the Wildcat and the D will get messy. Gashing up the middle. Good block, Ricky Henry.
That's right. That's so, right.
So Ricky Henry has a soft spot in my heart because he made.
And see, that's getting so long ago that I'm like trying to remember how I felt about Ricky Henry.
No. So I think what after talking about the dudes that. Juergens and Spencer Long emerged from that pack as potential guys. I snubbed them both, but we'll see. We're talking through this, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Let me keep rolling here.
And maybe I'm being too generous with Juergens because it's recent, but like, so the issue with Juergens, though, is like he was very, like, it was a very down, very up.
I can't have Juergens.
But I just feel like I stuck by Juergens and I liked how freaking tough he was tough, too.
I like Juergens, but he's not going to be on my list. I
mean, It's the snapping, man.
I mean, it's just, come on. Okay. Two big names that I omitted from the list. Are we okay with, I did not have Adrian Martinez on the list, and I did not have Tommy Armstrong on the list.
Fair. You put Taylor Martinez over both of them.
Oh, yeah. Taylor's on the list.
Oh, okay.
Taylor's 100% on the list.
Okay.
But I did not have so just, I wanted to get your reaction.
I'm good.
I mean,
I'm
both
good.
Those guys...
Got to win.
I mean, Tommy won a little bit.
Tommy won a little bit.
Tommy had some shit to him. Would you put Tommy over Adrian? What's crazy is I feel like raw talent, like when it's right, I'd put like Adrian number one out of those three guys. But like...
Killer instinct. I think Martinez and Tommy Armstrong had a killer instinct better than Adrian does.
Yeah. So... We're comfortable with only having or having those two guys off.
I am.
Last guy that I left off that is just because for a year he was amazing, and I love punt returners. DeMorne Pearsonell had a fucking moment.
Oh.
He had a moment where he almost won the Michigan State game because they idiotically punted to him, and he returned that bitch. Iowa, the comeback in Pelini's last game.
Yeah.
I
think that makes a difference, though. Like, the guys that impact the fans where we go, he would be one of our guys. Pearsonell would be one of our guys.
I loved him.
Because he might not have been the best prospect. He might not have, you know, yada, yada. But, like, he is what you remember from those years. And I think that is a big part of how I judge it. Is like, who do I remember?
See, so I left him off the list, but that one hurt. Like, his credentials outside of just like that one year where he really...
He was good, though.
But I left him off the list. One last double check that I didn't mention anybody. I think that's pretty much... Okay, those were the names of... Now we're going to get into the top 15. Okay. Do you want me to start at 15 and work my way down, or do you want to go right to the... Okay.
Work down.
At number 15, I have a man by the name of Alex Henry. First team All-American, 2010. He was All-Conference in the Big 12 in 2009, 2010.
We found out kickers are important. You know,
I know it's not fun, but he's I mean, Alex Henry, best kicker.
He was the best kicker in pretty much the country that year, and he made some big. Here's the defining. He made some big memorable kicks. The Colorado kick,
57-yard field.
It's a big deal. It goes down. So yeah, I think that's a fair.
And if it wasn't the 1 second put back on the clock, he goes. I think he went 4 for 4.
Yeah.
In that game against Texas, you know, and you know we talk about that feeling you had, the confidence. I'm not sure there was a kicker other than Chris Brown, maybe. I just was always love me some Chris Brown. But I'm not sure there was a kicker that I've had more, Nebraska kicker, that I had more confidence in when they got into field goal range, like that just 3 points.
That's very true. And I think the debacles of our last 4 years of special teams probably makes you appreciate and maybe puts him on this list for sure because of that.
I know kickers should almost be like in a different category, but I put Henry at 14. At 15, do we feel comfortable with Malik Collins at 15?
Yes.
Second team All Big Ten in 2015. Third team All Big Ten in 2015.
He was a clear player from the minute he stepped on the field.
It's a good ass player.
You put him and Valentine as a package. Like if you put one at 14, you put the other at 13. Because I think those two guys to me were like they kind of went from the we always had a couple of good we had LeKeven, we had Titus, we had. Carricker, we had Sue. I felt like those guys continued on the sort of tradition of D linemen. I had total trust that those guys were big time players. I never had a doubt about those two guys.
Okay, so what's crazy is I didn't have Vincent Valentine on the list. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy. I think of them as like a package. I think Collins and Valentine.
Yeah, because they were the almost. Duo. But he was hurt. Valentine got hurt.
Collins was better, but I mean, they were both really good players.
Okay.
We'll see. Maybe you're right. Maybe we need to give Valentine the put him on the shelf and maybe insert him.
Yeah, because we got Juergen, Spencer Long on the shelf. You got a guy like Eric Haig on the shelf. You want to add Valentine to put on the shelf? That's fine. I'm okay with that. Okay. So at 14, I got Malik Collins. At 13, I got Cam Taylor-Britt. You feel uncomfortable with that? Do you like that? Cam Taylor-Britt. 22
yeah,
time
I think
all
that's
Big
fair.
Ten.
I think it's fair. I think it's fair.
He was one of those guys. He left me wanting more a lot.
What's hard with him is his junior year was probably puts him up there. The hard part with him is his senior year was a bit of a struggle compared to his junior year where he was really he raised his game his junior year. His senior year was when he was going to, I thought it was going to be team All Big Ten, All American type candidate. And he starts out with the fumble against Illinois.
Right.
He's pressing. By the end of the year, he's playing really well. He's a good player. He's a second round drafter. I mean, the guy's a tough, good player. He just got in his head, I think.
I agree. But he's a two-time second team All Big Ten guy. He's a team captain in 2021.
I think he's a guy that what's hard is I don't think he maximized his senior year.
Maybe that, yeah, right.
That's what's hard. So I think it's fair to have him on there, but let's. I think we don't want him any higher than that right now.
Number 12, by the end of this guy's career, the last 2 years, I thought this guy was a hell of a player, and that's Nate Gary.
Yep. Gary was tough.
Gary was
tough
a good dude. Fucking player. First team All-American, according to Pro Football Focus in 2016. He was a second team All-American, according to USA Today, in 2016. Remember, that team went 9-3. They started, they were, 7-0 going to Wisconsin. They were, in the top 10 college football playoff rankings, and then the wheels fell off at Ohio State. Remember, they got beat 62-3, and then they just fell apart down. They got murdered by Iowa. They got murdered by Tennessee in the bowl game. But by the end, and I just felt like Nate Gary had a bunch of interceptions. That was the game. I was like, oh, he was on another level. Filling the run.
Yeah, he was.
Picking off, he was awesome in that Wisconsin game to me.
He's a guy I hadn't thought about for a long time, so I'm glad you brought it, because he's a good player.
He was a guy that I was like, damn, I almost wanted to put him higher, and maybe I should have, now that I'm kind of thinking about it, because there's some guys that are ahead of him. I'm I have a huge crush on wide receivers, apparently. I'm like, oh, yeah, I like that receiver right there. Okay, number 11. Guy got overshadowed because the dude that was on the other side of the field was big time. But Alfonso Dennard was a player.
Yeah.
He was second team All-American, Phil Steele, 2011. Third team All-American, according to Yahoo, in 2011. He was the Tatum Woodson Big Ten Defensive Back of the Year in 2011. So he was the official Big Ten DB of the Year.
Yeah. Dennard,
first team All Big Ten.
Dennard, no doubt. There's no doubt. Dennard's on that. He's on the top 15.
Here comes controversial. Maybe. I don't. I don't even know why I need to like hedge myself with that. At, what are we at? Number 10. I got Trey Palmer.
Oh, you know what? Okay.
Yeah, I know it's only 1 year.
This is where we were talking about body of work, but
if your 1 year is so good,
you're one, like if we're talking about Cam Taylor-Britt versus Trey Palmer, I'm saying you probably put Trey Palmer's season performances, like Cam Taylor-Britt never had a game as good as Trey Palmer's game was, like the few games he did. I think you're probably right. Like you got to put him on.
Trey Palmer's game at Purdue, I'm not sure there are five individual games better in, if we're going from Sue till now, so after Sue,
yeah.
I'm not sure there's any, you know, Helu had 300, Amir had some games that were out of this world, Taylor Martinez had some out of this world games.
That's the best receiver game we've ever seen.
Ever seen.
Yeah. At Nebraska, the best game we've seen.
And he's a single season, wide, you know, yards and single game, 237 yards at Purdue.
I think that's probably fair. That's probably fair because of that.
It's just hard because it was a throwaway season and it was 1 year, but
yeah, that's,
man.
That's a, but I'll tell you, I mean, he still did it. He still went out there and he gave us a chance to win games. That's a pretty telling sign. One player.
At number nine, this is where I, all of a sudden I get wide receiver heavy here. I got Jordan Westerkamp. Westy, first team All Big Ten, second team All Big Ten in 2015, third team All Big Ten in 2016. He had the Nebraska record for season receptions by a receiver in 2015. That's been broken since then, but at the time he left. He had Nebraska record for 100 yard receiving games. He tied the current record of four when he left. I felt like. In 2016, I think of that Oregon game in 2016, and I think of the Michigan State game in 2015 at the end of the year where Nebraska upset Michigan State. Like, everybody knew where the ball was going, and you couldn't fucking stop it.
I think he was just such a good football player. It's hard for me to say no to him on the list. He didn't jump out to me in my mind. Ooh, okay. But here's what I'll say, is this goes back to, who were you a fan of at the moment? And totally, like, we totally trusted Westy from the minute he got there. He caught the Hail Mary. I mean, he's got so many moments. The behind the back catch, don't forget that. I mean, he's got moments that just, like, I even remember him, like, throwing great blocks on reverses. Like, there's just things where, like, I remember Westy very well. And that's probably a good sign of, like, how much he actually did. He made just a lot of plays.
At number eight, I got Kenny Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny had himself a career, man. Like, Kenny was a decorated dude. He was, you know, when he was done, he had the Nebraska career receptions record, receiving yards record. He was first team All Big Ten in 2014. He was first team All Big Ten in 2012. He was honorable mention in 2013. But so in a multiple year span. He was one of the best wide receivers in the Big Ten.
Kenny was great. Kenny was a solid player every year. He was around for a lot. Like, he just was around a long time and played a lot. So, like, I feel very comfortable with Kenny Bell.
He's one of those guys, like, the longevity of Kenny. Kenny was good for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Him and Westy were similar in that sense. Like, they both played 3-4 years of, like, a lot of football.
At number seven, I got Stanley Morgan.
I don't know that I put Stanley over either Kenny or Westerkamp, though. Like, I think Stanley could make the list. And I think he probably should. But I don't know if he should be higher than
I agree. Them. I struggled with, I mean, to be honest, can I be real honest? If you're asking me if I'm ranking the best, like, there's hard of, like, who do I think the best versus, like, you take the whole criteria. If you line up Kenny, Westy, Stanley and Trey Palmer, I'm taking Trey first out of all those guys. And I think I'd maybe take, I mean, we're taking who, you're drafting those four guys. Do them in order.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
I mean, if I got to have a guy catch a ball to save my life, it's Westy.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Second is Kenny. Third is Stanley.
Fourth is
Trey. But if I need somebody to, like, go change the game, Trey, number one. Like, Trey can win you the game from start to finish. But, like, those other guys are like, I need you to do the job of, like, anything I ask. I trust those guys the most. So, like, Trey was kind of unique. And this is why I think, well, let me see, what did Trey? Trey got drafted sixth round, Nick.
Yeah.
With that kind of speed, that tells you that Trey Palmer has things in his game that are not, like.
Right.
He's not a great route runner.
Yeah,
he's not a great, like, he doesn't have great hands. You know, I don't know how tough he is, but, like, he is electric.
Right.
He was an electric athlete that, like, takes the top off and has supreme confidence, which I actually think is so underrated as just, like, a, like,
yes,
skill.
Athlete in general.
It's an intuitive skill. You have confidence that's crazy. But, yeah, that's where it's, like, how you rank these four receivers, that's tricky. My hunch is that you probably don't have Stan.
I maybe need to have Stan. I need to move Stan back and move
Kenny
up.
And Westy probably go up.
But just, you know, because
Trey was just a meteor of a year.
It was just, it's hard that 1 year gets him on the list, but it also we hold it against him to not move him up the list.
He should have committed out of high school.
I know. But I mean, when the thing with Stan is Stan left as a career receptions leader, the career receiving yards leader, the season receiving yards leader, which with Trey broke.
It's true.
But then he had the season record of 100-yard receiving games. He had 5 in 2017. He has the consecutive games with a reception, 38 in a row. Like, he's one of those guys, like, he's got the accolades.
He does.
That maybe some of those other guys don't have as much.
We're underrating his
career.
Yeah, that's true. I think he deserves to be there. I just, it's weird. Like, I feel like.
I'm with you. As I say that, it's funny. Sometimes you got to say something out loud to another person to be like, I think I, like.
It's like you say Kenny, Westy, or Stanley. Once you have to put them right next to each other, it feels like Westy and Kenny over Stanley.
I'm with you. I think I'm with you. At number 6, Taylor Martinez. I will say this real quick.
This is the most polarizing
because
of all the picks, and the fact that it's pretty high. It's 6.
Right.
I think I would move it back because he was so maddening at times, too.
That's what's so hard. If you would have told me, he drove me. I mean, we were, who's like, what's a super hot and cold, volatile couple from like a movie or a TV show that they like, they fought hard, but they loved hard. They broke up. They got back together. They were like, that was my relationship. It's not really Ross and Rachel because they weren't as, it wasn't as explosive, but like,
I'm trying to even.
Taylor's good. Taylor's hot, like the ceiling of Taylor and what he hit as a quarterback. Like, you got to go back to like Crouch.
Nick,
and he's not Crouch, because Crouch is the GOAT, in my opinion, of Husker QBs. But then, like, I'm saying that dude hit levels of individual performances and plays that were fucking unbelievable. Kansas State Thursday night, Washington on the road, Oklahoma State outdueled Brandon Whedon and Justin Blackman, went like 40 of 50 for 300 yards.
It was just like we talked about him. This was maybe a handful of pods ago, and then you know how sometimes you're like cruising the internet, and like some video popped up, and it showed like 4 or 5 of his like 80-yard touchdowns, and I was like, it was exactly what we were talking about, and like when you, it's magnetic to watch him run.
Yes,
when he runs, you go,
whoa,
look at that guy run. It's unbelievable. Like, just look at him go. That's why he's on the list. But like you forget, like there were games where like you almost had to pull him out because you were like,
I remember he was benched against South Dakota State. So that's in that start of the 2010 year, he lit up Kansas State on the road. He lit up Washington on the road. He got benched at home to South Dakota State, or Nebraska was going to lose the game.
Yeah,
and you could basically say because of him, there also was. I never trusted him. I guess what I'm saying is if you would take Nick from 2011 or 2010 or 2012 and hear me saying this, Nick from 2011 would go, are you kidding me? But as time has gone on, I mean, he was a first team All Big Ten selection in 2012, second team All Big Ten, in according to another publication in 2012. He shattered all the records because of the longevity of his career. I just feel like the ceiling that guy could hit as a player when it was good. Michigan State on the road, he was unbelievable.
Yeah. He had a long run.
He had a long run in that. He had the one touchdown, the winning touchdown throw to Jamal Turner in that game as well.
You know, and was it the Big Ten championship game that he had unbelievable. But we get beat then, obviously, crushed in the game. We get crushed. But, like, he makes that play, which was maybe one of the plays of the year.
Oh, yeah.
In all of college football, that amazing of a play. But then we lose the game badly under his guidance. Like, so it was like this weird... It was just weird up and down with him, which is like he's got to be on the list because he made the 2010s. He was the guy that like
he's probably one of the three or four defining players. Now, that doesn't mean best.
Oh yeah,
but he's one of the defining
players.
He defines
the 2010s.
Yes,
he defines our time in the Big Ten, kind of like really good and bad. And then after him, it's kind of been bad since after him.
But for me, it's like, would you put, at all the guys I named, would you put Westy above him?
Would you put Kenny Bell above him? Like I said, he is the most, like, I don't know if the word's important, but the most, like,
yeah,
it's like his level, like, where do I rank him? Is like, it's hard because he's such a big splotch on the whole thing that, like, it's like him and Sue would probably have the most, like, they made the biggest difference. But, like I said, he was so up and down that, like, you can't, like, you have to have the consistency to me to be, like, higher ranked or something, right? It's tough.
I don't know. The further
he's
I get
the most
removed,
impactful, good or bad.
So it's just like, there's a lot of different ways to frame this. And when you get into those worlds of, like, the defined, impactful, all this stuff, like,
We're saying best.
And I'm still going to put him there.
Impactful moves his good impact, gets him on the list. His bad impact moves him back down the ranking. So he's not, I probably don't put him at 6, but I probably put him at 10 or, you know, just because he was so impactful when he was impactful.
His good was
amazing.
His ceiling, the highs he would hit as a player.
It's just like Amir was as impactful and consistent and really good,
for sure,
right?
For sure.
That's where I'm like, okay.
Okay, see, to me, oh, now we're at 5. To me, the 5 guys are obvious.
Yeah.
At number 5, I put Randy Gregory. I mean...
So that means Rex Burkhead is above Gregory.
I put Rex above Randy Gregory.
Let me think about this.
Because Randy Gregory was a 2014 second team All-American. He was a third. That's the Writers Association. He was an AP third team All American. He was a finalist for the Lombardi Award. All this stuff, like a bunch of different things. I mean, he was an All Big Ten in 2-time All Big Ten, 2013, 2014. Like
he had basically two. He had 2 years with us, and he was phenomenal. He was obviously different than anything we'd ever seen for a long time.
Raw, just talent, getting after the quarterback. he's on the short list of like all time, just raw talent, like line up. I got to get past the tackle and get to the QB.
He's a guy, he's still playing, right? He's still playing, and he's still got a lot of coaches going, gosh, I know he keeps making F-ing mistakes, but look at that talent. Like, that's how much talent he's got that if he were ever to have just like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to think about football and work at football. Like, he's a gold jacket kind of guy.
Yes.
He's a gold jacket guy if he ever – I mean, I don't think he can get it together to that point now. I think it's like you're past the point where – like, but if he's 15 years old and was like, this is what I – he could have just – he could have been a gold jacket guy under the right circumstances. But, you know, Randy – I know Randy had a not-so-easy life before he got to Nebraska. Like, he's one of those guys – he getting to where he is a success story.
Right.
Randy Gregory is a success story in my mind from where I know he had a rough, you know, some rough opportunities growing up. So I would say he's a success, but the problem with him is he's so freaking talented that like we judge him off of, he did amazing things and he could have done more.
So, okay, well, let's keep going because I feel like you want Randy high. You want RG44 higher.
I'm just thinking here, but here's what I'm trying to weigh. What you did at Nebraska, I'm trying to think, like, because I know your boy Sexy Rexy is coming
Rex,
up.
I got Rex on in the top five.
Okay, is this five now? No, it's five.
Randy was five.
Randy's five. This
four.
Is four.
You ready for four?
Yeah.
Prince. Prince was 2010 first team All-American. He was a 2010 Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, according to the coaches. When the Big 12 coaches go,
yeah,
that's the guy.
Yeah,
he was he was a first round pick. Would you put Randy Gregory above?
No, because Prince did it for a long time. So Prince was a freshman when I was a senior. Every day.
Great guy, too.
It's hard great to not, guy. I mean, like he really is a great guy. Really nice guy. Every day, I had to do punt. I was on the punt team, and he was on the scout team, and they basically were just – I had to block him. I mean, he was so much better than anybody I played against. I was just like, this guy sucks.
Oh, so you could see it. You could see, right away. You're
just
like,
the movement, the talent. Like, you know, and I was like, Prince, enough. Thursday. And then sometimes Koss would make him go hard against me out there. I was just like, this sucks. Like,
that's a good
line. You know, his punt team is like, that's the last thing you want to do.
That's a great answer.
You got a brother-in-law. And so most of the time, he'd brother-in-law.
Ball. Yeah.
He'd brother-in-law with me, but every
I
once
got
in a while,
that a couple
he made
times.
Me work.
Me and Omar Wilkes at Kansas, got a rebounding drills. Omar would be like, all right, I'm going left. I'm going left. And I'd block him out. Omar would be like, damn, Slick, you blocking him out today, boy. Yeah. Coach Self made us sit down and made us run some
that's
lines.
How that's about that's what teams all about.
Omar,
sometimes
Nick, quit playing brother-in-law ball. Like, fuck.
There's nothing better.
Okay, so I got Prince at four.
Okay,
at number three now I feel like I'm letting my bias. I got Rex at three. I think he's a defining player.
I think that's fair. He was so beloved too. I think with Rex though, from the jump. He was beloved. He was beloved here. He just he had the reputation coming out of Plano.
He was Superman.
You know, they called him
was
Superman, and he was this like Texas legend. And this guy kind of defies everything you think. You look at him. He came in like kind of balding and
didn't look like
an athlete. And like first day of workouts, I was working out with the team in 2009 after I was done. Just like, you know, preparing for the next season in the NFL. And so me and my brother would be working out, and this guy is just there all of a sudden this summer, and we're doing these like hard workouts, and he's like lapping people. You know, usually when you go into college,
right,
it's like,
it's
it's like a lot. You usually like, you have an adjustment period. The old guys know what they're doing. They run circles around you. And this guy, coming out of Texas, it looks like a nothing. He looks like a non-athlete, is just like, you know, he's doing his sit-ups and he's going to the next station. He's just like, and you're just like, who the F is this guy? And that was Rex. And that was like, that was one of those things where like I immediately had respect and just had a sense like, don't underestimate that guy.
Well, and so that's a great anecdote. You're coming with great anecdotes here. That But he was one of those. I'm not sure there wasn't a guy that flashed more right away, even in like a limited role. Like you saw it, yeah. Like the first time he touched the ball, it just, you were like, oh, that guy can play.
Because he understands football at a IQ. And when IQ and instinct are both like 10s,
right.
Those are guys like that. That's like a yes. Rex type of guy. Right. Like, I think he's one of those guys. I think Amir you put in a very, very similar category. Amir just like a little bit more explosive probably than Rex, but like similarly, they both just like, it's like, I always say like those guys like never lost a yard. It seemed like they always found a way to like take a negative to like the negative goes to a one goes to a five, and a five goes to a 10, you know, or a touchdown. And like, when you get spoiled, when you got those kind of guys and all of a sudden you don't have them, you're like, oh, that's right. Now these guys just like take big losses and they just, you know, it's like those guys are both just very, very special.
By the way, he was the lifter of the year and two-time lifter of the year. So it would make sense. That
he outworked everybody.
But yeah, I mean, obviously he was first team all Big Ten, all that stuff. That guy, really, really good. At number two, I struggled with this. At one and two, I put Levante at two and I put Amir at one.
Oh, so no Sue though.
No, I'm saying since Sue.
Since Sue.
So like post Sue.
I got one that you missed then. This is good though. Okay. So Levante or Amir?
Yeah. I think I know who you think I missed, but I didn't. Are you thinking Jared Crick?
Jared Crick.
Yeah. I left him off the list.
I think you forget.
He was really good. I was looking at him. So he was because here's the problem. In 2011, he got hurt. So he played five games in 2011, got hurt.
His 10 season was great.
His 10 season was, he had, in 2010, he was I think he might have been an All-American. So maybe he should he be in over Malik Collins?
I think you can really make a strong case that Crick versus Collins, I don't think you can put Collins over him for sure. I mean, Crick's 2010. He's playing next to Sue, which helps. But he kicked. I mean, he was really good. And right. he was very good till he got hurt.
He was the one guy. I don't know if I mentioned him in the names that were omitted. But I wrote him down. But him getting hurt in 2011.
Okay.
I could see him being. He was more. I kind of want to put him over Malik Collins.
If we got four receivers, he needs to be. We need another. I think he needs to be on that list before.
I can see him putting a Cam Taylor Britt off and a Jared Crick on, or an Alex Henry off and putting a.
Yeah, to me, it's like if you don't have the big dudes and they're all small guys, I think we skewed these small guys. But Jared Crick was, you know, like him and Sue that year. I mean, Nick, that's all time. That was all time defense. Like, I think I would lean towards taking one of those receivers off and, you know, a receiver on a losing team versus like Jared Crick on a winning team.
Yeah, you're right.
I think we need
we got to put Crick in there.
I think we need to skew towards the winning teams a little bit more too. Like, you know, if I have Cam Jurgens on and not Crick, that's a mistake.
Right.
That's a mistake on my part. Right.
Well, so real quick, let's talk Levante David because obviously the dude was a first team All American. He was the Big Ten linebacker of the year, 2-time All Conference selection.
Oh, this is so tough.
I mean,
this is so tough.
I mean, because you could make it, some people would say, and some people say he's the greatest Nebraska linebacker of all time. I still am going to side with your bro.
I have a bit of a bias there.
I'm going to side with you. He's maybe after all the Rude Boys.
All three? No.
Bo, Barrett, Tom, and John. He ain't better than those four. Tell you that right now.
We're not biased in this room.
No, but Levante David. I mean, the guy.
Oh, this is so tough.
I mean, his strip of Braxton Miller changed the Ohio State game. At Penn State, he makes the game-winning tackle on fourth down. Like, the dude sideline to sideline just. And you've seen it now. Again, we're not supposed to include pro career, but you can use that to validate sometimes. Like, the guy has gone into the NFL and been
Exceeded what I think, just because of his size, he exceeded, I think, what we believed. Like, almost, this is how I'd almost, in my mind, I'd look at these two, Amir and Levante, right? I actually think in the moment, if you were to say Levante David and Amir at Nebraska, I think you. It's a mirror at Nebraska.
That's why I put him one.
Oh, you did. Okay.
I put a mirror one and Levante two.
Mirror one. Okay. So Levante in the pros though, like he did so much better than maybe you could have thought. And I actually thought Amir would be better in the pros.
I agree.
And I don't know, for whatever reason, I think he fumbled a lot.
He fumbled early and lost a little confidence and just...
Yeah, but it made no sense that he, in the modern NFL, he's like, to me, he was so good at everything that like he should have been. So like, I think in the moment when I was a fan, the impact was more Amir. He played, he was there for a long time. It was Heisman talk with him.
That's right.
It was Heisman talk.
The only guy on this list that was in the Heisman conversation, realistically in the Heisman conversation, was Amir Abdullah.
I think if that Michigan State game goes differently, he has a chance to win that one. I really do. That game was like his big stage game, and for whatever reason, everything kind of went wrong that day. But I mean, just remember that game we about lost. Is it South Dakota State that he like
McNeese State?
Yeah, and he catches the ball. He willed it.
He broke like 15 tackles.
Oh, and it was just like and I think it was maybe like the player two before just to get like the first down.
No, that was Northwestern? It was the Northwestern. The most unbelievable. To me, it's more than the McNeese State touchdown to win the game. It was fourth and like 12.
Yes.
On the drive that results in the Hail Mary touchdown. RK3 checks down to Amir on fourth and 12. And Amir makes Amir leaves his body, becomes God on the field, and shimmies. I don't even know. I almost want to pull that play up. If you would posit, you would put the percentage of this guy getting the first down.
We're going to Vegas. What's the percentage? What's the chance he gets the first down here? It's like 99.9% says no chance. Right. Like it was one of those.
It was one of those. And he makes the play.
And then we win the game. But like that's the thing that like Amir, I think why he gets a slight edge on Levante is just because of that sort of like folklore. Even though Levante has got his folklore.
He's got his game winning
plays.
The
Ohio State strip. I mean, It's a coin flip. I lean Amir just because it's so obvious that like Levante's pro career is so great that it almost outweighs his college career.
Right.
But I think Amir's college was so great and it made his pro career like seem like it was.
I mean, but Amir was 3-time All Big Ten and 3 straight 1,000 yard rushing seasons.
And that's the other thing he had the extra season.
3 years of doing it. We'll get out of here on this. Is Amir, I remember at the time when he graduated, I had him in the Mount Rushmore of Nebraska running backs. Rozier, LP, Amon Green, Amir. Who am I disrespecting? Calvin Jones.
That's tough. That's tough. Some of those 90s guys, I mean, Amon's obvious, LP obvious. Calvin's tough because he had some big games. I just feel like Amir was maybe a little bit more like those plays he made out of nothing. The game winning plays, I think, are a big part of it that, yeah, I think
Jeff Kinney. If you want to go way back, like
that's a winner. But I think Amir was a potential Heisman guy. I think he deserves. Yeah, if you can only have 4, Amir probably gets that.
If we go to Chimney Rock and you make a Mount Rushmore of running backs, I think you're chiseling Amir's face in there.
Yeah,
I think that's what you're doing.
I think that's
who's our guy, Rick Burns.
Rick Burns is knocking on the door though.
God, that was the 78 Oklahoma game, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rick Burns, big fan.
You want a homework assignment? People, go watch the 78 Oklahoma game and tell me Rick Burns is the toughest mother trucker you've ever seen.
It's a fight in the phone booth, but Nebraska won. And Rick Burns.
So, okay, real quick. We shelved Spencer Long and we shelved Cam Jurgens. Do you want to take them off the shelf and put them in over Alex Henry, Malik Collins, Cam Taylor, Britt, one of the receivers? I don't.
I think if you can take a receiver out. Oh, and Malik, that's tough. Malik was good.
I would put Crick out and I put Crick in over. Crick's got to be in.
Crick should be in.
You swayed me. We shelved Eric Hag as a guy. We shelved Austin Allen as a guy.
God, that's...
We shelved JoJo Doman as a guy, but we're not... I mean, any of those guys feel like they need... Do Tommy Armstrong or Adrian need to come out of the woodwork?
No.
I agree.
No. This is hard.
But it's interesting. It's... But, okay.
I think... Oh, man, that's hard. I mean, even like a Trey Palmer, it's like... Oh, man.
No, you could... Trey's on my list. That, dude, Jesus.
I know.
I mean, that Purdue game.
That Purdue game put him on the list.
There's something like the ceiling that Palmer and Taylor Martinez hit as players on another planet. Good. But to me, would you agree with me that the five are obvious? Like, you can argue about the order. I think it's pretty obvious that Amir and Levante got to be one and two.
There's five.
But those five
of are. And then there's like 20
yes,
to that 25 are, that are very close, Nick, that like, I think you could, Nick, you could flip the order on damn near all those, and it's like, it's hard to even argue.
Because I feel like Nate Gary, as I was doing the list, I put Nate at 12. I think you could argue Nate Gary needs
to be
higher.
Well, Nate played
higher.
A lot of years, too. He played almost 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, the guys that, like Rex, Amir, and Nate, like Kenny Bell, Westerkamp, those guys played for 4 years.
And yeah, they amassed stats, but they also, that matters. Like, they were able to get on the field,
consistently
make
good.
A difference.
Consistently good, all of them.
Well, this is fun, right?
This is tough, though.
It's hard to do.
Frick.
Now, I'm sure Twitter's going to let me know who I omitted.
We'll forget somebody big.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. There's probably. I don't know, though. I mean.
I mean.
If you made me panic about Vincent Valentine. Some of those guys, Carlos and Khalil Davis, Snacks.
So, Stanley Jean Baptiste.
Yeah.
You got Janovich, who had some
Jano
big
had a moment in time.
Tanner Lee, no. Hymus, probably not. Samori Torre had a really good year, but I don't think he's making this. Phil Dill, one of my boys, Dillard, he had a really good senior year after Pelini got there.
You know what? I'm surprised at the lack of linebackers.
That's true. I mean, I was thinking about
after Levante,
you got Compton, but Compton.
Compton was an honorable mention guy.
He was an honorable mention, and then, you know, Asante, strong safety.
Like Mo Berry?
No.
No.
We kind of had
Josh Banderas, our boy Gifford, shouts out to the Southeast Knights.
Luke is a guy that I don't know that he got to his ceiling in college. His ceiling is more like you're seeing it right now, like in the
pros. But it's hard because Luke was one of those guys that I always trusted Luke out there. You know
For
what
sure.
I mean? But that's hard.
Played a little bit out of position though. He's playing more of a stack linebacker now, and he's using his athleticism. Like, he can run. He can do it all. Like, he was sort of playing more of that 3-4 outside. I just don't know that that's where he needed to be.
Right.
He was a former quarterback safety in high school. Like, super athlete. We coached against him.
We did, in basketball.
In basketball when he was an eighth grader, and that dude was an athlete.
You could tell. You're
like, that guy is an athlete.
That dude's going to kick the – I think we beat him.
We did.
But, Luke out there, Debo and everybody.
Yeah, it was we're let's hope they put him on the bench for a little bit.
They
let's
got
to give him a sub.
You can only play
yeah.
one quarter in the first half.
Is the quarter over? Okay, let's
Good
go win.
God. Okay, I mean, any parting shot? I mean, it's kind of fun to do. More there's. I also was surprised at the lack of O linemen. Now O linemen are
Nick,
not sexy, you know, but the way that guy would.
Nick,
it's telling though.
Telling. O line and D line. I mean, Gregory was our only defensive end.
Right. Now you do this
telling.
now.
No linebackers, Nick.
You now do this in, let's say you do this in the 90s, in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s. You're going to have a lot of O linemen. You're going to have a lot of D linemen.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a lot of linebackers.
Oof.
So it goes to show you, it's an interesting thing where it's like, okay, lot of receivers. Do receivers win you games?
So
do,
this,
you know,
is,
it's like,
yeah, this is so. Me and you were talking about this earlier, and this is something we were brainstorming for later this summer. Is doing a big list, a master list.
What if we try to attack? We were looking at. I got the book of basketball here, the pyramid. Do we want to make our Nebraska pyramid?
I think we might need to look at. A
the
big,
Bill Simmons-esque?
The big picture, try to do it, you know, 1960 on or something. See if we can do a comprehensive one. It might take time and research, but I think we could do it.
Do we need to bring in like a representative from each, like, so from the 60s, it's just like you wheel in the guy from like Up, the old guy, and he's like, "Hey,
my name is Bob James, and I would like to represent the 50s. There's here three of us left.
His name, it escapes me now, is Brent Bill something? Nope.
And, like, and I've got reason to believe we should have 10 on the all-time list.
He could carry two jugs of milk on his bike, get to the game, give the milk, deliver it to where it needed to get to, go get a bubble gum, and then come back and play another game. We'd be like, what does this have to do with this?
I have no idea. Where am I?
I remember thinking this like Abe Simpson, Grandpa Simpson, like, in my day, we had a player named Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of all my the Abe Simpson jokes. It's always he says something, and he's like, I'll be quiet.
But no, we'll try. Maybe we got to kick around the idea of doing a true, like, a true master list, a true pyramid on that.
Yeah, okay, how to go about it. Yeah.
We went way longer than what I thought we would, but this is good content here. So shouts out to everybody that made the list. If you didn't make the top 15 list, it doesn't mean we don't love you. We love all you guys, okay?
And we're always rethinking.
We're always reshuffling things. So holla at you.
A Herd at Sports Network production.